at center, and coming in is Lube. He'll take center net.
Flame bench, there's all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
You can put it in the wind column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Hey, happy Canada Day and welcome to 2024 free agency with Wes Gilbertson of Post Media. My name is Pat Steinberg, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts. And boy, it has been a very busy day for the Calgary Flames in free agency, hasn't it? Wes at the Scotiabank Saddledome. He's in the Hot Stove Lounge. Steinberg stranded here in Vegas, but bringing you as much of our 2024 free agency coverage as we possibly can. And when free agency started, as we're talking right now, Wes, free agency started a little bit more than 2 hours ago, and it has been an absolute fast and furious stream of news, signings, a few trades mixed in there as well, and the Flames have been a very big part of it. It's been a busy Canada Day so far, hasn't it?
Very busy, and we just received confirmation on Jake Bean, the Calgary kid coming home on, I believe, a two-year deal. I know that's now been made official by the Flames. I expect we'll see shortly that they'll make some of these other signings official as they wait in the queue and finally, you know, have those contracts signed off on by the NHL. But yeah, lots to talk about. You and I wondered if we'd be babbling about who knows what today, but certainly lots of news to cover off.
So here's what the Flames have done. And it is a, they've hit them all. They've hit a goalie. They've signed two forwards, a defenseman, and extended a forward. Let's maybe start with, and let's kind of go through the moves the Flames have made to this point. And let's go through what we've seen from Calgary so far. So we'll start with the contract extension as Yegor Sharangovich, fresh off his first ever 30-goal season, fresh off signing a, or not fresh off of putting up the most points we've ever seen from a player in from Belarus in an NHL season. Yegor Sharangovich, who was an absolute revelation for the Flames as part of last summer's Tyler Toffoli trade, he was eligible to sign an extension starting today, July 1st, and didn't take him long to agree to a five-year deal at a $5.75 million AAV. So he's got one more year left on his current deal. Then the contract extension kicks in for the 25-26 season. Wes, I love this deal for the Flames. They get a guy who's going to be a part of the core, who you know is an important part of their offense going forward. You get him on a longer-term deal, and you get his AAV probably where it should be for a guy that you're expecting to score you between 25 and 30 a year. 5 years, $5.75 million, takes him into his early 30s. I think this is a great contract extension for the Calgary Flames.
Yeah, it's tricky to negotiate with someone who's coming off a career-high season, and yet I don't necessarily doubt that Yegor Sharangovich can replicate or come close to replicating the numbers he put up with the sort of opportunity he's going to get here in Calgary. I don't look at him as a guy who hit a mark this season that he's never going to get close to again. But, you know, for that reason, it's tricky when you're negotiating with a guy who's coming off the best season of his career. I used the example earlier of Tyler Toffoli, who was looking for more term and I believe more more dollar value than the Flames were comfortable with a year ago, ultimately traded him for Yegor Sharangovich. You know, we talk all the time here in this city about Jonathan Huberdeau's contract. Well, Jonathan Huberdeau is earning a cap hit of $10.5 million a year because he was signed coming off the best season of his career. He put up numbers that season that commanded the sort of money that he's going to be earning for the next 7 years. And so that's what I like most about this Sharangovich deal is that I think it's fair for not only what he's done, but what I think he could be could be capable of repeating over and over again. I think this is going to be one of those guys who fits as a really strong supporting caster. And I know people are going to say, well, what do you mean supporting caster? He was their leading goal scorer. I just mean at that dollar figure, he's not a guy who needs to lead your team in goals every year. He's a guy who can help you in a lot of different ways. He gives you a ton of versatility. I'm curious whether we're talking about Yegor Sharangovich at center or wing this year. He's a guy who has a great shot that's going to help your power play. He's a guy who's been an important piece on the penalty kill. And he's the right age, right? We're talking about a guy in his mid-20s. And so I do feel like this is a good bit of business for Craig Conroy, and also, you know, great financial security for Yegor Sharangovich at 26. You know, this is going to buy a whole lot of Lego.
I think, yeah, he's going to have all of the town, all of the different town sets he'll have. If he wants to go into the space sets, he'll be able to get lots in there with this $5.75 million. This was one of the offseason priorities for Calgary. I think is the year that when he had the year that he had, and he was such a successful acquisition as part of that Toffoli trade in June of 2023, the idea was, hey, we want to lock this guy up and we want to make him a part of the core. And the plan was, or the idea was, get him signed to a 5 or 6 year deal and get that AAV in the 5.5 to 6.5 range. I think that was what the Flames were looking at as they went into the offseason. And July 1st for players on an expiring deal is the first day that you can sign an extension. So as Sharangovich enters the final year of his 2-year contract that he signed last year. I didn't think when that deal was signed last year, Wes, that there was an understanding with the Flames and Dan Milstein, his agent, that they'd like to try to sign something if it works out well. So he's got 1 year left on his contract that pays him $3.1 million. And then for the 25-26 season, that $5.75 million money will start to come on the 5-year extension. So look, this guy projects as a top six forward for the Flames this coming season and for the foreseeable future. This guy just looks like a top six scoring threat. I prefer him on the wing as opposed to center. I think the Flames prefer him on the wing as opposed to center. And I think this is a really, really solid extension for Calgary and a nice, nice piece of business for the Flames. I really like what they did in this case and pouncing on this early.
Yeah, and you raise a great point, especially at the end. And in terms of just getting this done early, we know what happened this past season. You know, the first interviews that we get every year with the Flames are at their golf tournament, and what were the storylines? You know, what's happening with Michael Backlund's contract? Ultimately, he re-upped and was named captain. What was happening with Elias Lindholm's contract? That was the biggest story last September and carried on until he was traded in January. What was happening with Noah Hanifin's contract? And so Yegor Sharangovich would have been the obvious what's going on with your contract as he entered the final year of his current deal. You talked earlier about, you know, maybe some people had some trepidation or concern over how he answered that question. And I think more than anything, that was a little bit of not being super comfortable with how he could put it in what's not his first language. And also a guy who's not totally comfortable with the media spotlight to begin with, didn't have to deal with a ton of that in New Jersey. And so getting that potential distraction out of the way for the Calgary Flames this far in advance of training camp, getting that potential distraction out of the way for Yegor Sharangovich, who wasn't going to be totally comfortable with how to handle those questions, I think that, on top of what I think is a fair value deal, is a total bonus.
So a Yegor Sharangovich contract extension is the biggest money move of the day for the Calgary Flames. He signs 5 times $5.75 million.
Let's skip to Jake Bean for a second, because I want to share something cool with you, and I don't have confirmation of this yet, but What we're hearing is that Jake might actually be coming to the Saddle Dome to do media interviews today. And I just think that tells you so much about a guy's excitement to be signing with his hometown team. Not the, yeah, I could take a couple phone calls. Hey, guys, how about I drive down to the Saddle Dome, say hi to everybody, and do the interviews there? I think that's pretty neat.
So Jake Bean is a two-year deal at $1.75 million. That is the deal that he signs. Let's talk about Jake Bean, who we all know is the son of the outgoing John Bean, who was the CSEC CEO, and he's moved on from that position. But Jake Bean joins the team. I think as we get into this, a two-year deal at $1.75 million, Jake's a 26-year-old left shot defenseman, and was, I believe this is the kind of contingency plan comparable Oliver Shillington signing. As we're speaking right now, Oliver Shillington is not a member of the Flames. He's gone to unrestricted free agency. No idea if that's going to continue or not, but this is a left shot defenseman, similar age, who can step in and play a similar role. I still think there is more potential for Jake Bean as a defenseman in this league. And even if he just is what he is, and is what he is a capable kind of 4-5, 5-6 defenseman, depending on what team he's on. If that's all he is at the Flames, that's fine on a two-year deal at 1.75. But what you're also opening the door for here is that with a little more playing time, a little more opportunity, and some good health, that Jake Bean could maybe be more than what we've seen from him in the NHL. I like this bet from the Flames. And to your point, the excitement level of joining your hometown team is pretty neat as well.
Yeah, and I just think when you're overhauling your roster like this, and specifically when you're overhauling your blue line, you know, if you can sort of find a gem, if you can get something for a little salary, and I say that in, you know, relative to NHL terms, if you can find a guy who can be a bit of a revelation on your blue line, then you've done pretty well. And Jake Bean, obviously a former standout for the Calgary Hitmen, not only does that give you some familiarity, but it means that hockey fans in this city probably saw with their own two eyes why he was the 13th overall pick in 2016. They saw that sort of potential. You know, we're talking about a guy who scored 24 goals in one of his Western Hockey League seasons. Now, Jake Bean hasn't reached what I consider to be his full potential, and I've had some people say to me on social media, well, you know, we know what Jake Bean is at this point, and I just totally disagree with that. You know, maybe at 26 you'd know what a forward was, but that's not always the case with defensemen. And I think the Calgary Flames are hoping he can get back to the level he was at in 21-22 when he played 20 plus minutes a night for the Columbus Blue Jackets, when he put 25 points up that season. This, you're not expecting a guy that wasn't qualified by his former team to come in and suddenly be on your top pairing, but this is exactly the sort of talent and untapped potential that I think the Flames should be taking a chance on. And the fact that Jake Bean is from Calgary, the fact that he's going to want to be here, the fact that he's going to want to be part of the solution, I think just makes it even better.
Yeah, I quite like the signing. We'll see what happens on the Oliver Shillington front. Again, just after noon Calgary time, Shillington remains an unrestricted free agent, and we'll see if he signs elsewhere or ends up as a member of the Calgary Flames. But Jake Bean signs a two-year deal, $1.75 million AAV, and he was one of the guys that they had in the hopper if Shillington didn't re-sign or went to free agency, and Bean gets his two-year deal. Let's move to the forwards. Let's start with a really exciting one. and that is Ryan Lomberg, who returns to the Calgary Flames on a two-year deal. Lomberg signs a two-year contract at $2 million, fresh off a absolute Stanley Cup winning binge, and the defending Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers will not have Ryan Lomberg in the fold last year. He returns to the team that he started his professional career with. This is a very, very neat homecoming for Ryan Lomberg. I love this deal.
Yeah, I love it too. I love the fact that there's the familiarity with Ryan Lomberg, a guy who established himself as a fan favorite and a locker room favorite too. And in Florida, you would have heard nothing but great things about him, even when he was a healthy scratch at points in the playoffs. He's a guy that I think can inject a lot of things on your third or fourth line. He brings speed for sure. Like, this is a team we know wants to play with more pace and tenacity. Well, he does that for sure. He provides some attitude, right? There's some salt in Ryan Lomberg. He's a guy who's, despite his size, not going to let his teammates get pushed around, not going to let opponents try to intimidate, whether it's a Connor Zeri or Matt Coronato, some of those younger guys that are going to be coming in the lineup. And he's coming from a winning program. Like, it's not easy to find guys who have their names engraved on the Stanley Cup and recently engraved on the Stanley Cup. And it's easy to say, well, yeah, he was just a fourth liner, but you know, Ryan Lomberg was around for the build in Florida. He saw how that group went from, you know, just an average team to a contender and ultimately a champion. And I love that part of it as well. And I'll just repeat what I've said several times. If this is a guy who can help teach Martin Pospisil how to walk the line, because that's something that Ryan Lomberg had to learn to make himself a full-time NHLer. Martin Pospisil has more potential in terms of talent and offensive contributions than Ryan Lomberg had or will have. But if Ryan Lomberg can help teach him how to avoid the penalty box, how to stay on that line but on the right side of it, I think that is going to make this a really savvy addition for the Flames. This, if I was a Flames fan today, this is the one I'd be the most excited about.
It's the one I'm most excited about, just selfishly. I think he's such a good interview and such a really good ambassador for the team. So Ryan Lomberg, 2 years and a reported $2 million. Staying at forward, Anthony Mantha signs a one-year deal at $3.5 million. Mantha left shot, and in a lot of ways, I think Mantha, from a roster standpoint, is a replacement for Andrew Mangiapane, who was traded to Washington during draft week for a second round pick. Mantha comes in on a 1 year deal. You know, we've seen Mantha be a really impactful player before, and on a 1 year deal, taking that risk at $3.5 million, I have no problem with that. It's a low risk move, and maybe he can come in and fill a void, and maybe he can come in and you know, whether it's help the Flames get from point A to point B, or also, I think it's an opportunity for the Flames to boost a trade deadline trade chip as you look towards next season.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to look far in the past for proof of what a guy like Anthony Mantha could be worth at the trade deadline. The Washington Capitals flipped him to the Vegas Golden Knights for a second and a fourth, and that deal. I want to make sure I mention that deal did include some salary retention, but if the Flames wind up getting a good few months out of Anthony Mantha and then look to trade him for a pick or two, that's just sort of found assets, right? Those free assets. I think there's a lot of sort of potential places Anthony Mantha could fit. You mentioned as a kind of ready-made replacement for Andrew Mangiapane, although I hope the Calgary Flames give Jacob Pelche the first maybe shot in that role. I wonder if you have a guy there who might be able, and our buddy Eric Francis threw this out on social media, you know, could there be some chemistry there with Jonathan Huberdeau. You know, Anthony Mantha's a left-handed shot, but has spent a ton of time in his career on the right wing. You know, is that a guy who could finish off some Huberdeau passes? Could we maybe see a Mantha as that guy who can go retrieve it on the forecheck, playing with Huberdeau and Sharangovich? You know, do we see maybe a guy who can again play the right side with Connor Zary and Nazem Kadri, which gives you the, you know, possibility of putting Martin Pospisil elsewhere in your lineup, whether that's at center or maybe on that backland line. You mentioned obviously the chance for him to be a checker. And then, you know, I look at a guy who at 6'5" and 234 can park at the edge of the crease on the power play and maybe whack a few in for you. He's a guy who's scored, I think, 30-some power play goals in his career. And so, you know, 32 of 142 of his NHL goals have come on the man advantage. That's another place where Anthony Mantha can potentially be useful for you here at the Saddle Dome.
Yep. I don't really have much of an issue with that signing at all, because it's a one-year deal. You've got a lot of options on what you could do with it. It's a really, really low-risk signing. And if it ends up working out, maybe you can flip it for an asset at the deadline, or maybe you can look at him being a part of the team beyond just the one-year deal. He's 29 years old. I think it's exactly the type of forward signing you're looking at. And then the last move made by the Flames as we continue along here to this point is Devin Cooley, the goaltender who signs a two-year deal at $775,000. It is a two-way deal in year one, one-way deal in year two. He comes off his NHL debut with the San Jose Sharks. He got into a few games with San Jose this season. He's got about 100 American League starts under his belt as well. I can tell you that, you know, few things. Devin Cooley's coming in to be kind of the organizational number three, with Dustin Wolf and Dan Vladar earmarked to be your NHL goalies this year. And with Oscar Dansk seemingly moving on from the organization, they needed a new AHL-1 organizational three, and an AHL-1 that they feel could fill the same role as Dustin Wolf did this past season, in that he, when there was an injury or a need to have a guy come into the roster or come onto the roster and play games, they've got that, but also somebody that they can have in the American League. That's the role that Devin Cooley fills. They feel like he's the type of player that has a lot of upside and potential. They love his speed for a big man. They love his ability to move as a big man. And goalie people think that there is a ton of untapped potential with Devin Cooley. I think this was their number one goaltending target right from the get-go. Definitely one of the guys that I'd been suggesting, because I think it would have been a really good fit. I quite like this move for the Flames, and I think that there's a lot to like about Devin Cooley, so I'm curious to see how this plays itself out.
Yeah, and as I pointed out, you know, when I put Devin Cooley's name on a list of potential free agent targets, if Devin Cooley spends all of next season in the Calgary Wranglers, that's a good thing, right? That shows you that the two in-house options you already had, Dan Vladar and Dustin Wolf, have lived up to expectations, have proven that they can, I suppose, retain the spots that they're currently in the depth chart. And if Cooley can push them, whether that means being your starter in the AHL, whether that means spot duty in the NHL, whether that means stealing a job in training camp, if he can push them, then that's not a bad thing either. But I like the fact that, with no disrespect to Devin Cooley, what I like the best about this signing is the faith it shows in the guys you already have in your organization. You're going into next season with 88 starts of NHL experience among your three goalies. Well, that is a sign to Dan Vladar and Dustin Wolf that you think they're up to the task.
Yep. And I think and they could have gone and signed a guy like Cam Talbot, Laurent Brossoit, somebody like that with more NHL experience, and somebody that would have been playing in the NHL or would have expected to play in the NHL. But then what are you doing? Like, you can't. And I know how adamant you've been about this for the better part of a year, and I would be joining you in that same chorus if this would have been the case. You can't have Dustin Wolf in the American League for another year. You at the very least have got to give him the opportunity to play a ton in the NHL this year, but you also need to give yourself a little bit more goaltending depth. Markstrom's no longer here. You don't have the benefit of having Dustin Wolf as your organizational three anymore, and Oscar Dansk wasn't going to be that guy. They weren't comfortable with him being the type of guy that could step in to play NHL minutes. I think Devin Cooley's the perfect fit, especially knowing how high the goalie community is on him and how high I know the Flames are on him.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes sense from a lot of different standpoints, and maybe there is an opportunity to add Devin Cooley to the conversation about goaltenders of the future. But when we talk about, you know, term, and when we talk about contracts that aren't going to block young guys, in this specific case, Dustin Wolf, potentially even Walteri Iheanacho, if he proves that he deserves more playing time with the Wranglers in his first season in North America, or maybe eventually proves that he deserves an NHL look, you know, Devin Cooley's not getting in the way. And I don't want to, again, be disrespectful to Cooley by talking mostly about the other goalies, but that's what this signing signals to me. Yeah, you could have gone and, you know, picked up Cam Talbot, but that would have been sending the wrong message to Dustin Wolf about whether you believe in him. I know the Flames believe in him, but, you know, if he sees Laurent Brossoit or Cam Talbot or Anthony Stoller signing here, maybe he starts to wonder. And that's what I like the best about the Cooley pickup. I think there is potential there that his NHL numbers don't necessarily show. As you said, one of his six starts with the San Jose Sharks kind of obliterated his stat line. He also made 49 saves in a game against the Seattle Kraken. Somebody from the Sharks organization texted me shortly after it was made official and said, you're really going to like this guy there. And so I think for a lot of reasons, this one makes a ton of sense.
Yep. And those are the moves the Flames have made to this point. As we're talking right now, it's 12:35 Calgary time. And you know what the number one thing for me is about what the Flames have done outside the Sharon Govich extension, which I love. I have no problem with that being 5 years. Mantha 1 year, Bean 2 year, Cooley 2 year, Lomberg 2 years. Craig Conroy told us all along, we're not going to go crazy with term. And not only have they not gone crazy with term, they haven't gone anything more than 2 years on a term for an unrestricted free agent. And as this text comes in at 960-960 says, Pat, how soon do we start calling Craig Billy Bean Conroy? Buddy only cares about value, and I'm all for it. That's a lot of potential value deals for the Flames, and I see next to no risk in any of the four unrestricted free agents they've signed at this point. All I see is potential reward, and if they don't pan out, they don't pan out. You shrug your shoulders and move on, but there is some upside on all four of them, and they aren't long-term deals. I think this is a best-case scenario for the Flames and unrestricted free agency so far. I've been very impressed with what they've done.
Yeah, I would really have a hard time quibbling with anything that Craig Conroy has done. You know, into my, you know, to push it into best case scenario for me, I'd like to see a reunion with Oliver Shillington or another addition to the blue line. But so far, so good, I think, here at the Saddle Dome.
Flames have been busy. Free agency has been busy. Wes Gilbertson at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. My name is Pat Steinberg here in Vegas, and this is your free agency coverage 2024. All of our coverage is emanating back at our downtown studio, the Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.